This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. Recording this late Sunday after we tied the series up 1-1. We responded as I said we would, as I thought we would. That's what championship teams are made of. You have to respond when things don't quite go your way, and we did. So let's get right into that. The Dubs beat the Celtics 107-288 in game two. Steph Curry had another great game with 29 points in 32 minutes and did not play a single second in the fourth quarter, which was absolutely amazing. Like I said last game, Steph gets off to good start. Steph played great. I have to hold up my end of the bargain and make sure that we win that game. And he came out. What I thought was great is he didn't come out guns blazing like he did in game one. I think maybe for the first 6 or 7 minutes of the game, I don't think he had a point. And if he did, he maybe had 2 points. And he just allowed the game to come to him. He didn't chase after anything. He made the right play all game long, but especially in the beginning of the game, which was important to set a tone. Didn't come out just firing up shots like, oh, man, I was hot last game. I'm going to come back and get it going. And he really let the game come to him. And I thought that was absolutely amazing. Now, in saying that, he still finished the quarter, I think the first quarter, with 10 points. And that was totally not chasing anything. So I thought that was beautiful. And he scored in every which way. He scored a couple layups. He had a couple floaters, three-pointers, as we know. But it was really beautiful to see. And that's the maturity in Steph Curry. I know everybody just thinks, oh, man, he's this great player and great shooter, in which he is. But the maturity that I see, you know, in coming out in game two and not forcing anything and just letting it all come to him, because in that situation, you want it so much. Like, you're down 0-1, you want to come back strong. And so in that situation, you're really chasing after it. And that was huge for him to just let the game come to you, just like a seasoned vet does. And I know everybody's like, oh, man, Steph Curry's growth. Like, it's never too late to grow. It is never too late to grow. And actually, to take that a step further, in this game, once you stop growing, you're done. And so for us, you know, with Steph, you know, continuing to improve and everyone continuing to improve, you have to continue to improve at this level because everyone else is. And if you're not improving, you just get passed by. So I thought that was huge by him. It was absolutely amazing to see Gary Payton II back on the floor with us after missing, what, at least a month since the Memphis series and where he went down with obviously the unfortunate fall that led to him fracturing the bone in his elbow. You immediately saw his impact on the game. Defensively, his demeanor, his mindset. He got a couple putbacks, which were great. He got a couple layups off drop-offs, hit the corner three. Let's talk about that corner three because that was huge. You figure after not playing a month, you get a fast break where GP will finish that 8 times out of 10. Misses the layup and then misses both free throws. His next shot is the corner three, which he responds and makes the corner three right in front of their bench. Now, for those that are listening that have played in the NBA, which is not very many people because not many people have played in the NBA, when you're in front of an opposing team's bench and you're shooting that corner three, the things that are coming off out of that bench is the reason why you see everyone when they hit a corner three and somebody in front of someone's bench, they turn and look, they turn and say something. Because the things that are coming from that bench, we will not repeat here. And you know, we talk some shit on the Draymond Green Show. We will not repeat the things that comes away from the benches when you're shooting right in front of an opposing team's bench. So to miss the two free throws, have a short-term memory, and can that corner three, it was a very timely three, by the way, that really showed you and embodies who Gary Payton II is. And like I said, he had his hands all over that win. You can feel the impact, and it was so great to have him out there. I mean, his defense was, it's GP. He defends. And his defense, I mean, it looked like he hadn't missed a month or 4 or 5 weeks. And it's one thing to miss 4 or 5 weeks during the regular season. It is a totally different thing to miss 4 or 5 weeks in the playoffs because everybody's in playoff shape. Everybody, you're tuned up. You know, the playoffs, you want to be peaking. And so for him to come back and play the way he did, it just, again, shows why he's been able to put himself in a position that he's in while going through the journey that he's had to go through. And, you know, it was absolutely incredible to see. We're happy to have him back. I know he'll continue to have a big imprint and impact on this game and on this series. And so I'm looking forward to that. It was also good to see Jordan Poole start to find a rhythm on offense. I think that'll continue to get better. I think he'll continue to get more into a groove. He'll continue to find his spots more and more. But I think there's also something to say for, you know, a young guy in his third year playing in his first NBA Finals. And you were able to see him shake a little bit of that tonight. And I thought that was impressive. The two bombs, the 1-3 right before the half, and then the bomb from half court. I mean, that was beautiful. It came before the end of the third quarter. It came at a wonderful time. We were able to push the lead from 14 to 23. And going into the fourth quarter up 23, all it takes is one blow from there. You know, you throw one punch, and that's kind of it. And that's what happened. We threw a punch. I think we ended up going up 29, 27 or 29 or something like that. And then they pulled the plug. I was a little shocked to see them pull the plug so early, but I do understand it and I respect it. But I did not expect to come back out of that timeout and they had pulled the plug. And not totally, like they still had Pritchard out there, Peyton Pritchard. They still had Grant Williams out there. But for the most part, they had pulled the plug. Now, in saying that, that is a, a championship organization, and those guys didn't come in and quit. They continued to fight and battle, and we had to continue to close the game out. You don't want to let, you know, we saw ourselves come back, and the world saw us come back from down 29 or whatever it was to Dallas and make it a game there in the last 3 minutes. So we didn't want to do that. You know, when you get into these playoff series, you know, you got a chance to put a team away. You want to do that because you don't want any freak injuries. You know, I told the guys on the bench right away, I said, the worst thing that can happen right now is we have to bring Steph Curry back in the game. And we were able to hold off on that and not allow that to happen. I don't think Wiggins came back in either, if I'm not mistaken. And so that was great. It was absolutely incredible. Let's talk about the Celtics a little bit, about our defense a little bit. I know we talked a lot about our offense and defense. We talked about the defense with Gary Payton, but overall, we talked about a few players. But let's talk about our defense. I thought our defense was flying around tonight. And for me personally, you obviously saw the first jump ball, then the second, the very next play, was able to knock it away from Robert Williams. But for me personally, you know, I wanted to come out and establish ourselves on that end right away. And although they took a 13-5 lead to start the game, they felt us the entire time. And that set the tone for the game. And that was very important to come as for myself to come out and set the tone on that side of the ball. I am not someone that's going to come in the media or come on the pod and talk about what needs to be done, what I need to do, and then not back that up. And so I thought it was very important for me to come out and try to set the tone on that side of the ball, in which I was able to accomplish and we were able to accomplish. And for the most part, our defense was pretty good throughout the entire game. It was very important that we limited their role players that went off last game, you know, Smarty, Al Horford, and Derek White. They combined, like I said before, 15 for 23 from three. And for us to come out, they combined for 2 for 7 from three tonight. What that says is not only did we get into them and make them do other things, but we didn't give them open looks. And, you know, those guys, they're not going to come out mix, taking three. So if the three just isn't there, they're not going to take them. And so the fact that they only combined for 2 for 7 from three says a lot about our defense and the emphasis we put on making sure we contested shots. I thought they had so many open looks in that game one. And early on, they weren't hitting them as much. Those guys were hitting, but they weren't hitting them as much. But then the floodgates opened there in that third quarter and on into the fourth quarter, and they didn't miss. And so, and like I said before, I thought that was a direct impact from Al Horford getting a walk-in three to start the game, from Derek White getting two semi-open threes to start the game and knock him down. Smart got an open three. And so we just wanted to take that stuff away at the beginning of the game and not allow those guys to find a rhythm. And I thought that was important. I had a closeout on Derek White there in the third quarter, deep corner in front of our bench, and I just smothered him. And the reason I smothered him the way I did was because I was just having a flashback of a couple of the threes that he hit when guys were draped all over him in game one. And I'm like, nah, I need to like be all over him so he can barely get the shot off. And obviously it hit behind the rim. It was great. But those are the type of things that you have to do, especially being down 1-0. You got to come in. You got to get the game at your pace, your tempo. And then you want to come in with the proper level of physicality. And I thought we did a great job of that tonight. And it showed 15 steals we had tonight. That was huge. You know, we created a lot of turnovers. We were able to get points off those turnovers. And, you know, so to come up with 15 steals, that's very, very, very impressive stat. But it goes to show our activity level on that side of the ball and how important that was. And so that was great. I thought Jason Tatum got off to an absolutely incredible start in the first half. I think he had 21 points or 24 points at the half. And, you know, We all watched TV. We all saw how he responded in games after he had struggled, and he did the same thing tonight. He came out guns blazing, got off to a really good start, had his team in a good position. And Jaylen Brown got off to a good start as well. He hit it 1-3, then he hit the three over me, then hit another three. And, he got off to a really good start. But ultimately, over the course of 48 minutes, we were able to get him contained as well. And so that was a really big deal. You know, their offense starts and stops with those two guys. Obviously, they are the playmakers. They are the scoring threats. Not that everyone else is a scoring threat, because everyone they put on the floor is a scoring threat. But those two guys are the ones that really make the team go. And Marcus Smart. But to get those two guys contained allowed us to get the game at our pace and our tempo and play our brand of basketball, which was huge in us taking this win.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it, because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get into the mailbag questions, one more thing to discuss, which is what I've just found out post-game is, like, you know, you end up seeing all the stuff on Instagram. The small technical foul controversy. I saw where Javi said, you know, you're making the decision, like, if someone has a tech or not. And the reality is that makes sense. Like, you know, people want to try to make it out to be a controversy. That makes sense. Like, nobody's paying to watch this stuff to see guys get thrown out of the game and you not see the game you want to watch. Like, and so I understand and agree. Like, yes, if there is something egregious and, you know, then I'm going to get thrown out. As we know, nobody's sparing me. Nor do I expect to get spared, nor do I want to be spared. But if it's something that's not egregious, probably shouldn't get thrown out of a game. So I had no clue. People even thought like I was that close to being thrown out. I mean, I had no clue that people thought I was even that close to being thrown out because I don't play the game worried about getting thrown out or not. I play the game ultimately chasing the level of physicality that I want the game to be at. And however you got to get that done, you get that done. So I never go into it or after my first tech, like, oh man, I got to tread carefully or walk lightly just to stay in the game. Like, because if I'm going to tread carefully and walk lightly, then I may as well get thrown out anyway. Because that's not going to help my team win. So I have to be me for my team. And I thought that was very important. I'm always going to be me. And so to hear that that was like some type of little controversy or whatever was news to me. But now that I know the news and we're discussing it, you have my thoughts and my opinion and how I feel about techs or my techs. And that's just what it's going to be. 10 years in, I ain't changed up until this point. Why change now? 3 championships later, 4 All-Stars later, 7 all-defensive teams later. Why change now? Being who you want me to be or who you think I should be don't work for me, but being who I am and who I know I am and staying true to that, that works for me. So I'm always going to stay true to that, and you don't have to worry about that. That's it, and that's that. But before we get out of here, as I do have to pack to head out to Boston at 9 a.m., Jax, you got a couple mailbag questions for you. Also, by the way, as you all must know, Jackson is pissed off. He is a Boston Celtics fan, as our loyal listeners and subscribers know at this point, who we greatly appreciate you tuning in and checking the pod out. We don't take that for granted. Jackson's pissed off, just so y'all know, his Celtics lost. Let's see what Jackson, you got something to say for yourself before you get in these money bag questions?
Nah.
I'm sorry, money bag, mailbag. Money bag works too, though, baby.
It was a fun, competitive first half. And then the third quarter just kind of got away. That happens. Fourth quarter got away from the Warriors in game one. Third quarter got away from the Celtics in game two. It happens.
Tell me about it. I know that feeling old.
Yeah,
too well,
it's all right. It's all right. I mean, the Celtics, look, I got allegiances in both camps now, so it's okay. But the Celtics got the split on the road that they were trying to get, and now they're going back to Boston.
You got to protect home court.
That's exactly right. Now for the mailbag, before I get too over my head talking about this game. From Andrew Pimentel, at Andrew Pimentel, what type of basketball player do you think every team needs, whether it's in the league, high school, etc.?
What type of basketball? I think every team needs a leader. You know, you can get to all into all the nuances of, oh, like every team needs a shooter, every team needs a point guard, or every team needs this or that, or big man. Every team needs a leader. If you don't have a leader on your team, you can have as much talent as you want. It'll never work. Or little talent as you ever want. You can do more with a great leader on your team and less talent than you can do with a team that is filled with talent and has no leadership. Because it's all going to come crashing down. Because when you have a team full of talent, you also have a team full of egos. You have a team full of guys that know they are extremely talented. And so one thing that every team needs is you have to, and I repeat, you must have leadership.
From Emily Kate at M Sports Takes, if you weren't with the Warriors, where else would you want to play?
If I was not with the Warriors, where else would I want to play? And I am going to make sure.
Yeah, be careful.
I do not get fined for tampering here, Emily. To be 100% honest with you, if I was not with the Warriors, I used to think about that all the time. Like, where am I going? Where would I like to play if I'm not with the Warriors? Blah, blah, blah. And quite frankly, at this point in my career, I don't see anything else for me. Like, in my opinion, we've built this thing. No, not in my opinion. We've built this thing from the ground. Like, When I got here as a rookie, this team had won 23 games the year before. We built this thing from the ground. We were laughing stock. Nobody was checking for the Warriors. Nobody was worried about the Warriors. And so to build this thing from the ground up, it's like, this is our baby. And so I don't see anything else for me because this is so precious. Like, not often do you see some guys build something from the ground up and be able to sustain it and sustain it. By the way, y'all see the microphone cap. Nobody told me. Y'all see Jackson. See, Jackson would have told me had the Celtics not lost tonight. But, you know, to build from the ground up, it's just such a special thing. So I don't see anything else for me. I can't believe Jackson just had my microphone sitting here like this. That is crazy.
We're going to get you a new one. One that fits a little better. Because I'm enough of these complaints about the mic, the pop filter.
Y'all know it. If the Celtics had won, he would be like, Dre, your mic's messed up because he want to hear more of what I got to say. I don't think Jackson want to hear it tonight.
It just happened 5 minutes ago. It wasn't the whole time.
Wow, all right. 5 minutes ago is crazy. By the way, there's someone who's going to only watch that segment of the podcast. Like, I only want to see the last 5 minutes of the podcast and see me out here like this. But it's cool. I think we got one more mailbag question. We usually do three. Jacks, you got one more for me?
I do. From our boy Charlie at Playoff Draymond.
Charlie,
have you
Charlie,
ever thought
Charlie.
About writing a book about your career? If so, what would the title be?
I do want to write a book one day, but not today. I don't want to do it while I'm playing because I just don't have the bandwidth to focus on it. Like, there's just so many things going on. But when I do write my book, I'm not sure what the title would be. I think I got some good titles, like The Misunderstood Man or The Guy That Does Not Care That He's Misunderstood or something of that nature, Charlie. I don't know, Charlie. I'm going to have to get back to you on that one because I haven't thought so deep into the book because I know I'm not writing that book no time soon. But I'll tell you what, when I do, it's going to be a great one, and it's going to be a movie, and maybe even a TV series. So watch out, because I'm coming with the whole shebang when I do write the book. I'm going to go at people like Uncle Oak just went at people in his book. Shout out to Uncle Oak book, man. Charles Oakley wrote a book, and for those of you that have not read his book, you should definitely go check it out, because it is some stories in there that you cannot get anywhere else. So, my book may be a little bit like that. Not quite Uncle Oakish. Uncle Oak went deep. But you got to hear some of this story. You're going to get some of these.
And a reminder to also, as you check out Uncle Oak's book, check out our podcast with Uncle Oak on the Draymond Green Show, as well as reminder to submit your mailbag questions on Twitter, hashtag the Draymond Green Show.
Definitely appreciate the mailbag questions. Always a fun time incorporating you, our subscribers that we love. Anytime we can do that, it's always great. Until next time, I will be coming to you from Boston, Massachusetts. But I'm going to go pack, kiss my kids, kiss my wife, and get ready to take this show on the road. That's it from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. I will talk to y'all Wednesday after game 3. That should be a win. Let's hope it's a win. Let's do all we can to make it a win. Until then, that's a wrap. Peace.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them?
Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.